You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, my retro gaming podcast, where every single week, a buddy of mine and I sit down and geek out about the games we played as kids. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you so much for listening. This week, episode 51, we are talking Shining Force for the Sega Genesis / Mega Drive, whatever. It's so weird. I don't know. Maybe it's because I wasn't a Sega kid. I feel so weird calling it the Mega Drive. It was the Sega Genesis. Anyway, we're talking Shining Force. This podcast, one of the coolest things to me about doing this show is that it has me playing new games. And they're old games, so I can get them cheap, but they're new to me because I never played them before. This is one of them. There's a ton of them on the Sega because I didn't have a Genesis as a kid. This is one of them. It's a tactical RPG. It's fucking awesome. You're about to find out why. Highly recommend it. Go out, try it out. It's available everywhere. And as a greasy segue / plug, it'll be on the Sega Genesis Mini that Sega has coming out in the fall. And if you know or not from our Patreon, we are hoping to give one of them away. I swear to God, I'm not just going to plug the Patreon for an hour every week. I know I did a lot of it last week. Thank you guys all so much, by the way, for all the great feedback about last week. We dropped episode 50, which was about Super Mario 64. We released the first of our many, many Let's Plays. There's a new episode of that going up every single day over at youtube.com/rememberthegame now. We're about halfway through Super Mario World as I post this. And our first review is up. Remember the Game Retro Reviews. We reviewed Super Mario Kart. Sorry, that took me a few days longer. I was hoping to have it ready to go with episode 50 and the launch of Let's Plays, but it just took way longer than I expected it to. Great feedback on that, so thank you guys all so much for all that. The subscribers are up over on the YouTube channel. And our Patreon is over $70 in a week, which, again, I know people might be listening to this and laughing because it's $70. This isn't how I make my living. This is just a hobby. I want to upgrade my equipment, and I want to give some money back to you guys. So if we can hit $100 by August 1st, I'll be giving away, I'll be spending the money from it, or at least part of the money from it, on an additional Sega Genesis Classic to give away to one of our listeners, or one of our supporters, I should say. So if you're interested, $2 a month is all it takes. Patreon.com/rememberthegame. You'll be getting a shout out on the show. You'll be entered into a draw to win part of the money we raise, or maybe the Sega Mini. And you'll get access to two additional episodes of the show. And just quickly, I didn't drop any details on the dates for those last week. Patreon charges, I believe they charge credit cards on the first of the month. I believe that's how it's going to work. So my plan is to, beginning in July, because I don't believe anyone's been charged yet. If you have, please let me know, but I don't think anyone has. as of June 18th. So I believe the first charge will be going through on July 1st. The bonus episodes that everyone that gets signs up for Patreon will be getting will be releasing on the 2nd and the 4th Monday of every month. I wanted to release them on Saturday to kind of space them out a bit, but I'm not always home on a Saturday. A lot of the time I'm on the road for comedy, and I'm not just sitting at a computer. Monday, whether I'm at home or on the road, I'm almost always sitting at my computer. Plus, Mondays suck, so if I can make them a little bit better, I will. So the 2nd and 4th Monday of every month, you'll be getting bonus episodes if you're subscribed to the Patreon. So thank all you guys so much for doing that. I really, really appreciate it. And don't forget to submit questions or topics for the podcast. One of the two additional podcasts every month is me talking to you guys. You can submit them on your Patreon account because I message everyone that invests there. So you'll have a message from me on Patreon. If you've invested, please go in and check it out. So you can submit questions or topics on there or via Twitter or Instagram at Member the Game, just like Remember, but without the RE at the front. And I'll be giving those all those as many questions or topics as I can a little bit of time on the bonus episodes next month. Okay. I promise that's all the Patreon talk today. I'm not trying to plug it a ton. I'm just trying to make sure everyone knows. I'm trying to be as transparent with it as I can, and I feel greasy for doing it. But, you know, if you knew me in real life, you'd be like, oh, he is kind of fucking greasy. So, dude, I've had a ton of interaction with you guys over the last couple weeks online, too. So, a lot of people have been messaging me via our Facebook page or Twitter or Instagram, stuff like that, which is really rad. Like, thank you all so much that you care enough to even say hi to me. If I haven't gotten back to you, I'm trying. I that's really cool, completely unexpected. But I'm just so happy to see as many people passionate about old video games as I am. I'm not the only crotchety old man that loves old video games. It's all of you. You're all crotchety old men and women that just love old video games. So thank you all so much. If I haven't gotten back to you, I will. I promise. Probably I will. Okay. A few more minutes of rambling, then we'll get to the talk about Shining Force. I've been trying to plan out what I want to buy this fall, new games-wise, because I just don't have the cash laying around to shell out for fucking 15, 20, 25 games a year like I probably would have a few years ago. I'm cheap. Part of the reason I got is I am an indie game fanatic. And part of the reason I got into indie games is just because they're cheaper and easier to buy. You know, I'd much rather drop $15 or $20 on a game over fucking $80. And frankly, if you aren't playing indies, at least look at them. Because they're available on every console. The Switch has become an indie haven. They're on Steam. They're everywhere. And dude, some of these games, I bet you my favorite game of each of the last two or three years has been an indie game. They are fucking awesome. Last year, Hollow Knight on the Switch. I know it didn't come out altogether last year. At least I don't think it did. But it did come out on Switch last year. And holy fuck, I love that game. So play it if you haven't. But anyway, so I'm trying to plan out what I want to buy this year, particularly as far as AAA, the more expensive games go, because I just don't have a ton of money. Part of the reason I downsized to only owning a Switch from having an Xbox One, a PS4, and a Switch was because I couldn't afford to keep up with all three. And I was trying to cut back on how much time I spend playing games, which has completely gone out the fucking window thanks to this podcast, but that's okay. I'm on the road for almost a month this summer. I leave in the middle of July. I get back the middle of August. And Ultimate Alliance 3 drops on the Switch the day I leave. So I'm 1,000,000,000% picking that game up. And I think I'm going to go physical on that one. I don't go physical very often. I prefer to just have all my games on my Switch so I can take with me. But that's one I think I'm going to beat, trade it in, and then if I want to play it again down the road, I'll be able to buy it cheaper, you know, a year or two from now. So I think I'm going to go as soon as I land in Toronto. I'm in Toronto for some comedy shows that weekend. I'm going to land in Toronto, and I'm going to rip over to EB Games, pick up a copy of Ultimate Alliance 3, and bomb through that as fast as I can. I still want to enjoy it. I will enjoy it. It's Ultimate Alliance. Those games are fucking rad. And then I'm going to beat it, trade it in toward Fire Emblem, which comes out a week afterwards, I think. And I'm really excited for that. That's what I would prefer to buy digital. So actually what I might do is trade it in toward an eShop gift card and then just use that money toward buying it digital. Because that's when I think I'd like to keep on my Switch to play more and more. I'm definitely getting Ultimate Alliance 3, definitely getting Fire Emblem. 100% I'm getting Pokemon this fall or winter, whatever, in November when it comes out. It looks sick. And Luigi's Mansion has my attention too. And I've never been a big Luigi's Mansion guy. I just never really played them. But this one looks really cool. So probably going to pick that up too. Some people have mentioned Mario Maker 2. I'm excited about it, kind of. I was really excited for the first Mario Maker. And then I found there was just way too many crap levels to dig through. So I may or may not pick up Mario Maker. I'll see what the reviews say before I invest money in that. But just those four games I listed off alone are more than enough to play for the rest of the year. Plus, there's tons of indie games coming out that I want to pick up, and collections. The Castlevania collection, the Contra collection are both out now. They both look fucking sick. NBA 2K19 is $4 on the Nintendo eShop right now. I almost pulled the plug on that last night, but it's 32 gigabytes to download. And I think I have a 64 gigabyte SD card in my Switch, plus the original hard drive on it, which isn't even big enough to hold 2K19. I'd have to delete like 2/3 of the games I have on there to fit NBA 2K19 on there. And I mean, it's cool. It's on sale because the Raptors won. So they're like, hey, Canada cares about basketball for the next fucking 2 weeks. Let's cash in. Apparently they're sick sports games. I've kind of gotten off sports games just because they take so much time. You know, they're a time sink. It's games like them, Stardew Valley, Animal Crossing, Minecraft, like the endless games I'm trying to get away from when possible because they just take up too much of my time. But if you're into sound like Jimmy from South Park. If you're into basketball, I don't know if it's available that cheap on the other systems. It probably is, but I know that it's, and I don't know if it's everywhere, if it's just here in Canada, but here in Canada on the Switch, NBA 2K19 is $4. So maybe that's worth checking out if you're interested in it. That's a pretty good fucking deal. It's like an $80 game or something on sale for $4. Another thing that I'm interested in, but I just can't imagine I'm going to have the money to shell out for it, is Arcade 1UP. If you don't know, they're this company that releases like mini arcade machines. And they're not mini, like sit on a table. They're like, I think they're like, I don't know what, 2/3 maybe the size of a regular arcade machine. Like they're stand-up arcade machines. They've released some classic ones and they look dope. They look just like the originals. They're releasing a Ninja Turtles cabinet and it looks amazing. It looks so good. It looks like the one I fucking would play religiously at Chuck E. Cheese when I was a kid. We'd all go to Chuck E. Cheese for birthdays and we'd all get like $10 worth of tokens or whatever, and I would pump every token I had just into the Turtles arcade machine. It looks so sick. It's 4-player. It's fucking rad. It's also like $500 Canadian for 2 video games, Turtles in Time and the arcade game, and those games are sick, and it looks rad. I don't know if I have space for it. I certainly don't have $500 to drop on 2 arcade machine or games, so I don't know if I'm going to get it, but I'm. It's going to be just sitting there staring at me for quite some time anyways. It looks pretty sick. So check them out. It's not available yet. I don't think pre-orders are due up yet. But Arcade 1UP, their machines look pretty dope. And apparently their reviews are pretty good. So, and just quickly on the Ninja Turtles point, this isn't a movie podcast in the least. I don't know fucking anything about movies. But watch, if you're a Turtles fan, Batman versus the Ninja Turtles. It's an animated flick. Just came out on like iTunes and stuff. I checked it out over the last week. It's pretty dope. So, I don't know. You can rent it for like $6. I would give it a chance. If you're a Batman fan, a Ninja Turtles fan, it's pretty funny. Michelangelo and Baxter Stockman steal the show in it. Pretty great. So, and that arcade game, man, just I'm looking at it right now on my computer and just like, fuck, it looks cool. I love arcade machines, you know, like I've always wanted a classic Miss Pac-Man arcade machine, like the old stand up, like 300-pound fucking I want one of those so bad. So if anyone has one near Edmonton and they want to sell it dirt cheap, I will name the podcast after you. I don't care. I'll fuck it anything you want. I really want a Miss Pac-Man machine. So anyway, that's what I'm going to be spending my money on. That's what's going on here. What have I been playing over the last week? I just finished SteamWorld Heist last night or two nights ago. I finished off SteamWorld Heist. Fucking awesome. It's like a tactical 2D shooting game. It's like most tactical games are like from above, I think, and they're like a board. This one's just two-dimensional and you just move like space to space, but just left and right and up and down. Literally sounds the same as like looking at it from a board. Like side-scrolling. There we go. Shooting game. Dude, it was fucking awesome. I can't recommend it enough. I've played SteamWorld Dig 1 and 2 and Heist now, and they have all been fucking awesome. They're made by Imageform. It's a developer from somewhere on the world. I don't know where they are. But they're all sick. They go on sale pretty regularly, at least on the Nintendo eShop, so I recommend those. They have another game out that's like a card battling game, SteamWorld Quest. I've never mentioned it in those other games I was talking about, but it's definitely on my list of games that I want to pick up as well. So try it. It's really good. I'm also playing through the game that I want to put up as my next Let's Play right now. My goal really is to post a new video of those every day. You know, they're not usually going to be more than 10 or 15 minutes long because ain't nobody got that kind of time to sit around and watch 2 hours of Let's Plays at once. Well, maybe some of you do, but I don't. And it's a good game. I don't want to give it away. I don't want to spoil what it is, but it involves a giant monkey, and that should be all you need to know. And that's, I'm having a fucking great time replaying that game. I've also been playing a little bit of Double Dash on my GameCube, primarily because in my last or my first review video I just posted on the YouTube channel, I said that I don't hate Double Dash. And then I was like, you know what? I should just make sure I don't hate this game before I say I don't hate it. But I don't. It's pretty fucking rad, man. Mario Kart's the best. And then I started into Wargroove last night on my Switch, which is another tactical RPG, but it's more along the old school, like a board game, top-down tile game. And I'm having a fucking awesome time with it. I played a couple hours of it last night after I got home from my comedy show. And I'm really excited to get back into that. It looks dope. The reviews are great. So far, so good. So everyone's been comparing it to Advance Wars, which I never played, but apparently Advance Wars was pretty awesome too. So if you like Advance Wars and you have a Nintendo Switch, give Wargroove a shot. It's not expensive. I don't know if it's still on sale. It was on sale. That's why I grabbed it. I think even at full price, it's only like $20 or $25. And it's pretty rad, at least so far. So, and that is the perfect segue to get into the game we're talking about today. Now that I've rambled for about 14 and a half minutes, we are talking Shining Force, which is a tactical RPG for the Sega Genesis. I'm completely hooked on these games right now. And this was one of the ones I've played during this kick. This is OG. I don't know if this is the first tactical RPG, but it sure feels like it. Like, it is, imagine Dragon Warrior from the NES meets Fire Emblem, and that's what this is. Very basic. There's certainly some things in it that have been improved upon over the years, very ancient in the way it does some things, but it plays awesome. It's on the Sega Classic Collection. That's where I played it, but it's also available on like all kinds of virtual consoles. It's on phones, like on mobile and stuff like that. I love discovering new games, and this was one of them. It's awesome. I highly recommend it. It was recommended by my pal Miklos, who is here this week. I am going to cue the music. I'm leaving that segment shorter this time because the music gets repetitive very fast. But my buddy Miklos is here. He recommended the game. He was a Sega kid. You may remember him from our Sega versus Nintendo episode from sometime back in the 20s, I think. We have another Sega game we're going to be doing down the road. We recorded the same time as this one. But that was then. This one is now. That is a fucking awful exit. Sit back and relax and listen to Miklos and I talk about Shining Force, which released in North America in July of 1993 for the Sega Genesis. Here we go. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame. All right, buddy, this one, I'm excited for this because, like, by the time this one goes up, we're either right before or right after episode 50, and I've done one Sega Genesis game in 50 episodes, and I'm completely biased and I've never hidden that, but you're the Sega nerd, or at least you're one of my Sega nerds.
One of them, yeah.
So I'm excited about this. So I started posting online, like, hey, guys, I need Sega suggestions. What should I play? Because I have that Sega Genesis Classic. collection on my Switch, and you were up my ass, and you were like, you got to play Shining Force.
Even before that came out, I was sending you the mobile app and stuff.
You were. You've been on me for quite some time to play Shining Force.
I was like, you would love it, man. It's a fucking great game.
And yeah, so I finally did, and god damn, that is a pretty good game.
Yeah, even as old as it is.
Yeah, and it, like, okay, so... just for the record, my guest this week, as I will have said in the intro, is my buddy Miklos. You may remember him from the infamous Sega versus Nintendo episode that we did like 6 months ago now.
And Final Fantasy and something else.
Oh yeah, and Final Fantasy.
Mario Brothers 3.
And yep, Mario 3. And you've shit all over me for our Pokemon episode.
Yes.
Oh yeah. And so since then, actually just the other day, I recorded another Pokemon episode.
Oh,
and
right.
I don't want to say what game it is, but I prefaced the episode by saying, I don't name you, but I'm like, if you're one of my friends, if you're one of the listeners, it's a hardcore Pokemon fan. Just fucking calm your tits, because I know I'm going to catch you. I love it.
I'm excited to go flame you on every single.
Oh, it's coming. And you don't like... I can't believe you're even in my house, because you hate Bulbasaur so much.
Oh, I know.
But today is not Pokemon. Today is Shining Force, which is a different old RPG.
Oh.
And I'll set the quick stage here before we get into like the game itself. If you've never played it, it's like a tactical RPG.
Yeah, it's like
a technical
Final
term.
Fantasy Tactics, Fire Emblem.
Fire Emblem. That was
Advanced
my first
Wars.
Thought. Yeah. It's basically like a virtual board game in a way. Like, it's, you got like a grid, you move players around, and the first one I ever played was Fire Emblem Awakening a few years ago, and I really liked it. And then I started playing, I fucking came obsessed with Mario Rabbids. I got really into the Breach. And the number one game people compare all these to actually is XCOM.
I know what it is, but
yeah, I don't know anything about XCOM, but
I think this is one of the first ones of its kind.
It has to be.
It's just like playing, like I just came from playing Pathfinder, which is like D&D. So it's essentially the same thing.
You know what it reminded me of is, it's like, did you ever play Dragon Warrior?
Yeah.
On the NES, it's like the tactical RPG version of Dragon Warrior.
Yeah.
Just so bare bones and basic.
Yeah.
Just like it's like an old Sega Genesis / Mega Drive, whatever you want to call it, like Genesis game. And basically, like, you start out as one character. They just call the hero.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you, because you said you haven't played it in quite some time.
Yeah, quite a while.
I don't know. I don't think there's actually a default name for him. They call him the hero, and you can name him whatever you want.
Yeah.
I screwed up when I was playing the first game, and I meant to name, because I always name my main character Hoju. Like, in every game I play, I name the character Hoju. And I went, to name him Hoju, but I only got an H in. And then hit I was on my Switch playing the classics thing,
yeah,
and I hit the wrong button.
Yeah, I think like even the controls, like back in the day, because like is ABC, so like one is like select, but it's not like select for everything.
No, it's very weird. Like,
it's
the controls
weird.
Are very fucking
like
odd.
I remember like because you can go like search for items in like boxes and stuff around.
Yeah,
and. But you can't search. You can like go through like the long menu, or you can like hit C, I think it is.
Right.
And then like use the shortcut.
Yeah, it was like it took me a long time to get used to it, because I've played quite a few RPGs, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, what? it's old school, right? This was like when they were still figuring out how RPGs were gonna work.
Yeah, and to do it with the three buttons, like, do you just leave one out?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Just for the record, it looks like the hero's default name is Max.
Okay.
But it was the hero. So for my game, it was H.
H.
And that's how I know him as, is H. And like, and you literally start out as just H. And then, honestly, as it's the same thing with like Dragon Warrior and the original Final Fantasy and most of these, like, the pioneers of the RPG genre, the story is kind of like confusing and weird and not that good.
I'm trying to remember what the story for this one is, but it's probably, is it the one where like, because like I said before, Shining Force 2 was my main one that I played.
They had
like your princess or something gets captured and you got to go.
Nope. Okay. In
that
this one,
the second one
in this one, it's like there's like a the Dark Dragon.
Oh, okay.
Is this like dragon
they
sealed away forever ago, and then his bad guy like wants to bring him back. And then a different bad guy wants to bring him back. And you keep finding out that these bad guys were controlled by a different bad guy. And it turns out, like, the main bad guy is I assume it's pronounced Dark Soul. It's Dark S-O-L.
Yeah,
it's Dark Soul. And he's trying to revive the Dark Dragon. And
I think
you're on your way to stop
him. That was one of the things, too, because they could only have so many characters.
Right.
right? So like, how do we say this without having all the letters?
Like with only so many letters, yeah. And so like basically you just travel around the world of, what's it called? Runefast, I think is what it's called. And you basically just travel around Runefast going from like, it's basically just a way of going from board to board. Yeah. Like you go from village to village, recruiting people and,
getting huge armor, getting a huge army of,
and a huge army. And then you keep going into these levels and then eventually you go fight the Dark Dragon, beat him. And that's the game.
I really liked how, it was very, very fantasy-like. Like, you get, like, centaurs.
It was, yeah. Like, I mean, so, like, for the character, because honestly, like, and again, this is, like, and I, and, like, Final Fantasy did this, and, like, Dragon Warrior did this. Like, I mean, a lot of people credit, like, Final Fantasy IV as being, like, the first Final Fantasy game that really, like, put some story behind it. Yeah. Like, a real story, you know? And you can tell that this is from, like, the early days because you go out and recruit these characters, but an awful, like, I mean, right off the gate, they just hand you like five characters. They're just like, oh, here comes the Shining Force, I think is what they're actually called. And they're just like, and there's like, you get like an archer, you get like a fucking gnome or dwarf or whatever you want to call them.
Dwarf.
You get like a nice knight. Axe. You get like a centaur and shit like that. But then you go throughout the game and you just keep everywhere you go, you recruit characters.
Yeah, and then you're like, why do I need like eight centaurs that throw javelins?
Right, and like, and I noticed that because like I honestly, because you can miss characters.
Yeah, you can.
Which is something I really enjoy in I mean, when you talk Final Fantasy VII, like that you could skip Yuffie and Vincent if you wanted to. Like I've always enjoyed that, or like Final Fantasy VI, I guess. Even
you can miss
three or four of them if you wanted to,
and especially in the end world,
once it flips over, and I really like that. And in this game, like, I'm sure I missed some. I haven't actually done a look over, like, I haven't looked up a cheat or like a manual to see if I got everybody, but I know because you can never take any more than 12 people into battle with you, and one has to be the hero, so you basically get 11 options. And by the end of the game, I probably had 24 people, and I hadn't even used 3/4 of them.
Yeah. Because you get, and so, like, some of the guys are just so overpowered.
Oh, buddy.
Like, I'm going to try some of these guys, and you're like, what?
I honestly, like, whenever I stopped, because near the end of the game, it was hitting a point where I was like, I know who my team is. Like, I've got 11, you know, I had a couple healers, I got a couple archers, I got a couple, a couple people, like, mages, and then my tanks. But every time I would get a new person, I'd be like, oh, I got to see what this person does. And then I'd be like, this person's just a shittier version of that person. And then finally he was like, I just left them all in the basement forever.
You're gonna chill down here. I don't really need you.
Because every single town, there's like a lair you can go to for the Shining Force. Yeah. And it basically is down in a basement and it's like a hideout. But it's the exact same hideout in every town.
Yeah.
Just happens to be there and your whole team is down there. And you can go and like pick who you want and add them to your roster and stuff like that.
It's like every town is like commissioned. You're like, you need this base here for when we show up.
Yeah, yeah. And you, like you said, like you can get a lot of funky, like it starts off, like you said, you get the basic guys, you get like a healer and shit like that. But then as it gets going, like you don't just get like mages and dwarves and centaurs and archers and stuff like that, but like you can get the best character in the game for my money. Okay. So the best character, I don't know how much of this you remember. I'm excited because I literally just played this game like a month ago.
You're
going to
carry this so much.
But that's okay. My two like heroes were, Luke. And fucking, what was his name? There were two dwarfs.
Yeah.
And they were both just fucking
tanks.
Gort. Yeah. Luke and Gort.
Yeah.
And they were just bosses. Like, they would take no damage, and they would dish out, like,
so much.
So they were my two go-tos.
Unless you had, like, a bunch of mages. Like,
yeah.
They did a really good job of that, too, was really pairing up... like making it really like a tabletop RPG.
Mm-hmm.
So like having like character classes and having what character classes were good for doing certain things and doing damage to different, like, you know, like you got your bashers like Luke and Gort who just go out and they can do damage to pretty much everything. But sometimes you run into something that's just like is also a tank. Even they don't do damage to it.
Yeah.
You got to come in with a couple of mages behind you, got to protect your mages, and
it's because they're so weak, they're, man. Your mages are flimsy. Just bitches, like one hit and they're done. But the mages are like you got to pick a couple of them, power them up, keep them in the back. I had by the end of the game, I had one archer that was a boss, but couldn't take a ton of damage, so I hit her in the back. I had two healers, And then, oh yeah, so man, my favorite character in the whole game is the werewolf Hugo.
Oh yes, he's the best,
fucking boss,
and he's like so good.
And he's one of those guys that like, so every time you get into like a village, there's I mean, and it's very, I use this term very loosely, but there's a storyline in the village. Like, there's something going on
something
there.
Something going on. You got to do a little quest. You got to go, and it's usually like 3 or 4 maps of fighting, and then
basically just a way to propel you back into combat type thing. But when you go to get Hugo, you go and like, he's like, you don't even know what Hugo is. You go into this town and everyone's talking about how Hugo's losing his mind and they had to lock him up. And so you have to like, it's not necessarily a side mission. It's part of like a map I think you have to play anyway. But there's like a flower or something that you have to go get as part of the map. Yeah. And if you go get that, then you can turn that into a cure. Go down and see Hugo, give him the cure, and then he's...
And I think like you could miss it. It was pretty like, oh yeah, you pretty much run through it.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah. And it, like, I totally see how somebody could miss him.
Yeah.
But he's
a beast,
dude.
He's...
Like, he does a ton of damage, and like, and now, and I have a lot of criticisms of this game as well.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
As fun as it is, you can see that it was like the first one, and there's just a lot of shit. They obviously, I hope at least they improved in later ones.
Oh yeah.
And one of the things that I found very irritating was that like on certain maps, and it wasn't as bad near the beginning of the game, but about halfway through, you start to hit a lot of maps where you're like in the forests and stuff like that, and like, it'll say like, what's it say? Like area effect or something, like 30%. And what that means is like, you'll take 30% less damage when you're in there, but you also go a lot slower.
Yeah.
And most of the characters like just crawl. And so like, you go into a battle and there'll be a dozen bad guys at like the top left of your screen. And then the screen will like pan over, and like, you can't see it all at once. Like, it'll pan over to the bottom right where your team is. And literally the first 5 minutes of the level is just both teams slowly crawling toward each other, but no one's touching each other.
Yeah.
It's just turn after turn after turn.
It's one of those, well, I mean, to give it some credit, cause I play a lot of tabletop RPGs, is that, when you do stuff like that, like, it gives you the idea that you're like setting up a battle. So you're like, it's like almost like a little chess match. Like, you're trying to move pieces into play. You're figuring out how you want to get guys somewhere, how you want to defend guys from guys that are attacking. So I get the idea, but yeah, it gets like, I like grindy games, and this is a grindy game,
buddy. It's grindy. And like,
especially, well, like, is the your main character's special like thing where like, if he dies, that's it, the battle's over, and you go back.
That was something frustrating to me too. Just so I can finish my thought, the reason I was singing Hugo's praises so hard is because it doesn't seem to matter what the terrain is, Hugo can move like 20 spaces.
Yeah.
He does so much damage. He's the best.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like, the only way to get game over is for the hero to die. And like, that's the only way. Everybody else can die, and then you can just pay a little bit of money, which honestly, after the first...
Yeah.
3 or 4 maps, you have so much money that it becomes like a non-issue. Yeah, at least I found anyway.
Well, that, and you could do what, egress? Whenever you're like, oh no, I'm getting worked on this, and you go back, you keep all your levels, you heal all your guys, and you can like keep doing the same level over and over and over. So like, if you take a little bit of time at the beginning.
And that was, and that was interesting to me, because I like looked up on message boards and stuff, not necessarily advice, but like, it was interesting, because, dude, this game's got a huge following. Like, the Shining Force community is massive. Like, I actually should have put a disclaimer at the beginning of this one, much like I did the last Pokemon I just did. Like, if you're a diehard Shining Force fan and you're mad at something we're saying, like, let us have it. But I'm sorry. I'm doing the best I can. You guys know what the story is now. It's a shitty podcast. I don't know.
You might still be able to put that in.
I'll put it in the intro.
In post.
Yeah, I'll put it in the intro for sure. But yeah, so some people were debating it because, you can go into maps and you can buy, I can't remember the name of the item because I don't think I ever used one. I bought one at the beginning of the game and never used it. You can equip anyone in your team with this item that can warp you out of Angel Wing, I think it's called.
Yeah.
And anyone can use it, and it'll do the exact same thing as the spell for the hero, the ingress spell.
Yeah.
Where basically you just leave the map, go back to whatever village you were last in, keep all your experience points. And then you can go revive anyone that's dead or change out your party and buy new items and shit like that. And so, like, in a way, I wouldn't say it breaks the game, but, like, you can make the game as hard as you want it to be.
Yeah.
Because if you wanted to just play a map 5 times and grind and level up all your guys,
well,
you could.
At the beginning, that's also a good thing, too, is the experience that you get, even if you're grinding. Like, if you want to grind and get 1 experience per kill, like, because well, you get experience for attacking and doing damage.
Yeah, but
but you get more experience for killing something.
Way more experience.
Yeah. With the healers, I found was the best because you guys could take, like, your guy could have one damage and you heal 10 or 11.
And he'd still get
every
the same.
Every time, right?
Like, yeah.
So, like, so you could heal your, you get your healer, like, way above everything else.
Yeah, yeah. Because that's, like, so, like, most of you guys get experience points, including the healers, like, because they can, like, some of them actually do some damage near the end. If you equip some powerful staffs, they can do some damage.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, so they get experience points for attacking. Because, like, you're on the board, so there's no, like, party attacking. It's just, like, you move an individual character, then you choose, like, I'm going to attack this guy. And then, like you said, honestly, like, for the most part, if you attack a guy, you get, like, 3, 4, 6 experience or whatever. But then you kill a guy and suddenly you get 42 experience points and stuff like that.
You get, like, the good way of getting people up is you get your good guys in and go do most of the damage.
Yeah.
And have, like, your guy you're trying to level up come in behind.
That's what it is, yeah. And, oops, I just unplugged my headphones. But yeah, and that's one of the cool things about it too is you can see everybody's experience points as you play.
Yeah.
There we go, I got my headphones back in. Nice. You can see everyone's experience points as you, like Pokemon style,
yeah,
where like all their experience points are right there. So it's cool because you could do some damage, get a bad guy down to like 2 HP, and then tag in your fucking healer if you want to, or anybody, or some new low-level guy you have.
Your mage, mostly.
Yeah, and just let them, like, pop and get all those experience points.
Yeah, and then you could egress out and do the, like, if you found a decent spot, like, right at the beginning where you could do real fast.
Mm-hmm.
I know in Shining Force 2 that becomes real important with some of the characters you get.
You have to level them up.
They do a lot better job in Shining Force 2 of specializing. You should play it, and then when you do, let me know.
Oh, I will, and I plan on it. Honestly, like, I'm just so burned out on RPGs right now that I was like, I need a break, especially because I was so heavy into this one.
Oh, yeah. It'll weigh on you because it's a lot of doing the same thing over and over.
And it, like, and that's another one of my criticisms, I guess, of it is, like, it can get old. Like, the grinding can get old really fast because, like, the music never changes. No. Every single battle, it's the same, like, it's the same fucking song. Like, I ended up listening to podcasts, or, like, if Shaylee and I, my girlfriend and I were watching TV, I would play on the couch and just, like, grind through a level. Like, and like I said, like you said, it's chess in a way, the whole, like, trying to set up the map.
Yeah.
But they're so far apart and they move so fucking slow that it's like, imagine a chessboard that was like fucking 80 by 80.
Yeah.
And you still had to move all your pieces toward each other. And it's just like the first 5 minutes of the chess match is getting close to each other.
Yeah. And another good thing about the leaving, coming back, is you kind of see where they're going to move.
Yeah.
A
you
few
get an
times.
Idea.
So
yeah.
You're like, cause they're set to a fairly simple algorithm, right?
Yeah.
Like,
and that's actually one of the things I was going to slightly criticize too, is the fact that the only way to get game over is for your hero to die.
Yeah.
And so, like, I mean, as I'm sure most people, like, by the end of the game, like, my hero was my strongest character because he's on every map.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I was scared to use him most of the time because if he dies, we're fucked.
Yeah.
And like, and sometimes you can see, and this is not just with this game, this is with any tactical game. This is one of my favorite things about a tactical game, is you'll make your move and then the bad guys start moving and you realize you're fucked.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you've put your hero in a, like, the main character, you've put H in a place where, like, he's going to die and there's no way for me to protect him. And I'm like, fuck.
Yeah.
But that's something where the fun of the game.
And you watch, like, your whole, you'll be like, what just happened? Like, your whole army just got decimated. Now your hero's just there and you're like, his turn is like 4 turns from now.
And that's the thing is, like, especially in the last half of the game, there's some boss fights. Like, it's not just clearing a screen of bad guys. It's like getting to like one of the main characters at the back of the map. And they're fucking tough.
And some of them got like that Lightning 2 spell, which has got like that giant radius.
Oh, fuck. And they can hit like every character you put around them.
Yeah.
And what's frustrating sometimes with them is like, so they'll put like the main character or the guy you have to kill to like move on. Will be standing like against the end of the map.
Yeah.
So you can only get 3 people like on his left, his right, and then in front of him. And then like certain characters, like if you don't count magic for a minute, just certain characters like archers and then the centaurs, if they have the right weapon.
The javelins could attack.
They can attack like 2 spaces away.
Yeah.
So then you could get a couple more in. But the problem was that you'd have all these characters gathered around, but you couldn't get close enough for everyone to hit the bad guy.
Yeah.
And then the bad guy would cast that fucking lightning spell. So you had to keep like, basically what I was doing is like, I would get to the, like I would clear out everybody else, get to just that boss, and then basically send in like 3 guys at a time and be like, you attack till you die. And then I'll send in the next swarm.
And then
of
see
three.
If maybe you could keep like a healer or two just out of range.
That's what you do. Yeah, I keep a healer just off to the side for people to run back and heal. And then honestly, like I would keep I would keep the hero at the back. And then if everyone died, I would cast egress and get out. And I was a little bit frustrating that I was like, this guy's supposed to be like the captain of the team and my strongest guy, and I can't use him.
Yeah,
because if he dies, I lose all my work.
Yeah. What did you think about the items? I like kind of like the. That you could have four items?
Four items per character, but that included the weapon.
Yeah, included the weapon.
So like their weapon would always take up a spot. Yeah. So they would have three spots.
Well, it was neat too with like the centaurs. You could give them a javelin, but then also give them like a sword or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So then you could be like, no, I'm going to switch to the javelin now.
Like at times I found it very cumbersome and frustrating because you'd have to go through, like every time you wanted to buy it, like, it was so frustrating that you couldn't buy items in bulk. So like before you were going to a map.
You got to buy one, give it to someone. And then before that, you got to like clear out items.
Yeah. If you wanted to stock up on healing items and give everyone one.
Again, it was what they had at the time. They do a better job, I think, with Shining Force 2.
I'm sure they do. It's the first one, right? Yeah. It's like the first anything you find ways to improve it in the, you know, you look at the feedback, good and bad.
Yeah.
But I found the items, like, I like the idea of, like, each character has their own items.
Yeah.
And so, like, I could send a couple of, like, I could send Gort, one of my two powerhouse dwarfs, off on his own and make sure he's got a couple healing seeds on him.
Yeah.
And then I don't even have to worry about sending a healer with him because I know he can take a ton of damage.
Yeah.
And if he starts to get down, then I just burn one of his turns using an item and he fills back up. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, so that was handy. My issue with it was less about how each character could only carry three or four items and more about how there wasn't, like, a central menu where I could, like, I couldn't buy 10 healing seeds at once and open my menu and be like, give a healing seed to him.
Yeah.
It was like, buy one healing seed. Who's going to carry it? Where's he going to slot it? Over it.
Yeah.
Oh, it was fucking like just, and then the,
and then even if they had, just a central place, like in your lair or whatever. Like, this is my item hold.
Right. Like when you're in your lair and you can pick, like, because that's where you go to like switch out the members of your team and stuff. You should be able to access like a list of all your items and just plug them into everybody. Like you can't even see all your items. You can't. No. And another thing that I found, I actually had to look it up and maybe it came with a manual like back in the day, but I had to look up like the powers of the weapons.
Yeah.
Because that way it was just like you'd buy one and it would show no stats.
Yeah.
You know, like, and then it gets our, and again, I'm not, a lot of the stuff I'm shitting on this game for, this game came out before the games that do, like, that figured out how to do these. So it's like, it was back in the day, but like, it's so frustrating when it's like, I get to a new town and see there's a new sword I can buy. And I've got five guys in my team that can all use this sword, but I have no idea if this sword is more powerful than the one they have or not. And the only way to find out is to buy one, equip it, and then be like, oh, it's not even as strong. Fuck
me. Or it's like for a different kind of character, you know? Like, Right?
Like, because like there's so many different character classes, and then you can promote all the character classes to evolve them into like a stronger version.
You get like
of
the Pegasus
class.
Knights and stuff.
Yeah. Like it's, you can have, well, I mean, you can have, like, I think there was a couple that couldn't promote.
Yeah.
But most of them could.
Yeah.
And then they could use different weapons, but like there was no way to know what weapons they could fucking use. Yeah. Like it was just, again, it's all just, it was back in the day, right? Type thing like that. So I can look by it. But I just, as someone in 2019, if you've played a lot of RPGs like I have, like you have, it can be very cumbersome and very slow.
Yeah. Going back, I remember going back a couple times to play it and like on emulators and stuff.
Yeah.
And being like, oh, You definitely get that like sense of like, oh man, I love this game so much, but I hate it also a lot.
Yeah, it's just, you know, honestly what I found playing, because I'll probably never play it again. Like I've played through it now, I've had fun with it, but and I'm like this with most RPGs, but I found it way worse with this one. When I was in combat, for the most part, I was having fun, other than that initial get them close to each other thing. But every time I finished combat and got to a town and had to go through everyone's equipment one at a time, and like it was such a slog for 15-20 minutes. Yeah. That was where I was like, I would always like turn it off and be like, I'll come back to this part later. And then I would dread that part, get through that part, and be like, okay, now I can go fight some more. Because the fighting and like the basic strategy of the game is hella fun.
I'm in that part right now with Final Fantasy IX, my replay, because I wanted to go back and collect almost everything because there are things I didn't do, like fight the optional boss.
I
can't remember what his name is. And go to the Sky Chocobo place.
Yeah.
But it's just so much playing this stupid chocobo game.
And it's like, yeah.
And it's just, and like, you play it and you're like, you get nothing. Nothing. And you play for so long, you get something. But you need like 40 of these things. And you're like, this is like 10, 15 hours of my fucking time.
Yeah. And it's just a slog.
Grinding. Yeah. Like, and I like grinding games, but I don't like grinding like that.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't mind grinding when it's like, when you're out battling and leveling up. But like, I feel like this with literally just about every RPG I've ever played. Every time I get to it, you know, because it's RPG 101. Every time you get to a new town, there's stronger weapons and armor, and you got to go sell stuff, buy stuff. And I always dread that part. But at least in most RPGs, you've got four or five characters. You go in, you swap out their gear,
you're done. You don't have a team
when you've
of 12.
Got a fucking army of 12, and then if you want to work with any of your spare characters, you've got an army of like two dozen.
Yeah.
Which that was another reason I just decided at one point, I was like, these are my dozen. Yeah. Fucking good enough, because I was like, I'm not dealing with all of this.
Yeah, you don't want to go and try each and every one to find out which one of those is the special good character.
No, and it like, they can get left, because they get no experience points when they're left back in the hub. It's like Pokemon style, where like everyone in the bank doesn't level up at all.
Yeah.
And it hits a point where you're just like, it's frustrating, because you're like, I don't want to bring this, like this new guy I got, like, cause you don't just get, like we were saying before, that's something I wanted to mention before. This is going to be an all over the place podcast. I've had a few coffees. I don't care. Like, it's not like you don't just get your basic characters, like your dwarfs and your archers and mages and shit like that. But you get a werewolf, you get these, like, what are they called? The flying fucking, like, they look like giant eagles.
Like,
they're actually pussies.
Yeah.
They can move around the map like crazy, but they're fucking useless as far as their attack go.
I found they were good if you wanted to bring them in, like, to use items on people.
Yeah, that's be the only place they're handy. Yeah. Is like floater, like basically just really portable healers. If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan. I can't remember his name, but I got this fucking floating white blob wizard.
Yeah,
And he was just like a weird alien looking thing.
Yeah.
He was pretty cool. I got a dragon near the end of the game, but he was a blue, but he was a pussy.
Yeah, I think his name is Blue.
Blue the dragon.
He's a pussy. I think if you when you upgrade him though, he becomes one of the better.
Probably, but I don't. Yeah. I didn't have the patience at that point.
That was a big thing too, because a lot of the guys that were like real big pussies, when you upgraded them, became really fucking good.
Sure.
Really.
But like, it's one of those things that like
almost unbelievably broken. The dragon for sure.
When did this game come out? Fucking 1992, 1993. So when this game came out, and this was like the only game, this is like your new game for the year on your Sega.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, yeah, I could see why you would put 200 hours into just grinding and leveling up every guy to see. But I was like, as someone with a ton of games I want to play, I was like, I've got a team of 12 that's good, fucking done.
Once you got to a point where you could start upgrading people, it became a little bit less tedious to try new characters.
Right. Because
you could, like, you could literally bring in your new character. You could set it up so they come in and, like, kill a couple guys off the hop, egress out. Mm-hmm. And then, so it's like, it's not like you're doing a whole battle. You're not putting them in harm's way. You could bring them in. You could level them up to where you need to. Upgrade them.
Yeah.
And you could do it pretty quick because everyone else is already up there.
Yeah. I'm very curious to know, like, with the whole egress thing, like, I mean, RPGs 101 are, like, sometimes you go into levels and you just have to go grind for a while because you're not strong enough. But most RPGs, if you go into a, not tactical RPGs, but regular RPGs, if you go into a new area and then it turns out you're not powered up enough, then you get game over. You go back to your village and you're like, oh, shit, we need to get a little stronger here first. Whereas this one, like, dude, and this isn't just, I wouldn't even call it a knock on tactical RPGs because it's part of the reason I like them because there's consequences. But man, it is frustrating to sink 30, 40 minutes into a board, then lose right near the end, and then have to do that whole thing over again.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Did you take advantage of save states?
You know what? No, not really.
Okay.
I primarily used them because I was like, I gotta go. I don't have time to fucking play this out. I will lie to you. There was probably one or two times where I was like, I want to feel like I've just battled for half an hour to get to this boss I have to fight.
And you don't want to have to go through it all.
Yeah. So I'm like, let's just save state and we'll just see what his attack is. Like I'll take two guys in and then find out his attack is gross.
Yeah. This, the battles too was, cause they would introduce new enemies
a lot.
And then, but so if you were grinding and you guys were like stuck at like the 3 or 4 experience per attack, even with the killing and whatnot,
which happens like, because you kind of scale, like I think they scale your experience. They so if a guy's too strong and kills weak bad guys, they don't get any experience points.
Yeah. But then they would just add in like, cause you guys would generally be, you know, in a range of levels.
Right.
Right. Like you're not all like maxed out.
No. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
So like you have this range of levels, but then they would introduce like one or two like new, more powerful guys.
Right.
And then you'd be like, oh, I need to kill those guys with my guys. So they gain experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're like always trying to do that.
It's very fascinating, man. There's a lot of stuff to it. Like the egressing out to level up and grind and stuff. And I wonder, you know, are the scaling back the experience you get on easy bad guys? Like, I have to assume they kind of finished the game, played through it, and then were like, what do we need to do to kind of tweak and balance and nerf it a little bit? You know what I mean? Like, because if you never, like, I'm not going to sit here and say you could beat the game without egressing. I'm not that good at the game. But I could understand how, like if you never egressed, because you never went in, grinded out a bunch of experience points, bailed out, and then came back.
I think the game would be impossible.
You would be so under-leveled by the end that you'd be just completely fucked, you know?
Yeah.
And then sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't think you would even make it that far.
The other thing that I found not frustrating, just I was like, I wasn't sure exactly what to do, is with the whole, like, promoting your characters, like evolving them, you get to choose when that happens. You basically just go to this like priest guy in every town, and once a character's from level 10 to level 20, then you can upgrade them to their like better version. But you can do it at any point, and then their stats all flip around and kind of drop a little, but they
start
at
the beginning.
But they start at like a higher beginning than they did the first time. And like I was reading about it, and I never really got that far into it, but like there's a ton of strategy involved in when you promote guys. Like some guys, you're better off promoting them as early as possible.
Yeah.
Other guys, you're better off saving up to level 20, then promote them because they'll take better stats with as.
Yeah.
A lot of replay to it if you wanted to. A
little bit free when and if you do Shining Force 2. There's some characters in particular that your main healer off the hop in Shining Force 2, I think her name's Sarah. If you do that thing where you, because if as long as you're healing health points, she'll gain 10 every time. So you could like spam levels with her like in every egress.
Oh yeah,
right. So she'll get to a point where you could upgrade her pretty much before anyone. But if you keep upgrading her, and they have upgrade items in that one.
Okay.
So you give them an extra item, and then they upgrade to a different class.
Okay.
So, like, this one would go, like, priest to something else, but I would always, like, save up, and you could just grind her out. You get her, like, real high, and then you give her this item. She goes back as a monk, but she's got, like, these massive stats.
Oh, okay.
And then, like, she ends up getting, like, this even bigger cure spell that does, like,
Oh, so it's like to the point where she could heal you from anywhere on the board, basically?
Well, not, but like a huge range. So like you pick someone and she could heal like 6 or 7 guys all at once.
Right. Oh,
and,
I see.
And as long as you're doing that, she's gaining like 25 experience like,
right.
every time. So if you got like a few people and you just let them get hit and you could just sit there and level her up.
Like, yeah, like kind of spam it almost.
And then she becomes like your most powerful character.
I like it. Well, and like, and that's one of the things too is like, and I've always appreciated it. I've just never had the patience to find it. Like, I like RPGs, but they're not one of my go-to genres because there's always so many things you can do and I don't have the patience to experiment and find them. Do you know what I mean? Like, I mean, like when I think of Final Fantasy VII, even like people are like, oh, well, if you do this, this, and this, combine this material with this spell, cast it once, you can beat a weapon in 2 minutes without even touching the button. And I'm like, I don't have the, like, I just want to play the game. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
do you ever play any tabletop RPGs?
No.
Oh man. The one I just left right now. I'm playing, and I haven't really played Pathfinder a whole lot.
Right.
And the magic system in there is so unbelievably broken.
Really?
Yeah.
But that's part of it, is like finding it, right? But that's where like I like games like this, though, because I don't play those games.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what tactical RPGs are. Like, I remember playing that first of Fire Emblem game and being like, dude, I like this. And now, like, I'm completely into these games.
You got to go
so
back
fun.
And play some Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah, I do.
Advance Wars, I think you would like for the
game. My brother played the shit out of Advance Wars, and I just never played it.
Oh,
and
I like really that liked game. That game was lots of fun.
Tactical RPGs are rad, and it was really cool playing Shining Force because I was like, I could totally see. I don't know if it's the first tactical RPG game ever.
That's
like,
probably
I
one of the very first.
Has to be one of the pioneers.
Yeah.
And for all of the slowness and the fucking too many, I frankly felt like it was too many characters. but so like many. The slow combat at times and the too many characters and the painful fucking navigation.
Fun to go back and just have like an army of centaurs.
And you could, you yeah, fucking could, because you get a dozen.
And
because
like there's like, and some of them are archer centaurs and stuff.
And right? There's like, I got one that was like a fucking giant armadillo.
Yeah,
fucking sad. He sucked. I never used him either. but there's like, there's so like it's for all my criticisms over it, and a majority of these criticisms just go to like, it was the first one. They probably tried it and were like, oh, and in the future games we won't do this, this, or this.
Second one's got a turtle, and he becomes like a big dragon.
I like
and
my.
And then there's a rat ninja.
I like I think, my. I think Splinter.
I think you would like the second
Splinter
one.
Splinter and the
more.
Turtles. Oh, I'm sure I will. I liked this one. Like I may never play it again, but I had a good time playing it. I was like, this was a great fucking and like honestly, dude, games like this are so at home on Switch.
Yeah,
where it's portable. Oh, yeah. Play it for 10 minutes, put it to sleep,
yeah.
Jump in. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine being a kid and sitting down in front of your TV for fucking an hour and play. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. I feel I'm probably going to, whenever I get a chance, go to EB Games or something and pick up Final Fantasy 12.
Yeah.
I don't know if you played or not.
Not yet, but I want to.
That's a game where at certain points you could, because it's got like an auto battle feature. Like,
yeah.
That you could turn it on and just collect items. So I could like put it on, like plug it in next to my bed and just go to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you guys all know how much of a hard on I have for the Switch. It's fine.
I'm so glad I bought one.
It's the best, man. It's just getting better. All right. Well, I don't know. Do you have any other thoughts on Shining Force before we wrap this thing up?
Nah,
it's pretty good.
I like the game. I'm kind of thinking about getting the Genesis collection to go back and play.
For the record, you guys, like, if you've, like, I know you guys know I hype the Switch all the time, and you also know I'm not a Sega guy. Having said that, like, if you have not just a Switch, any console, but I say the Switch because I like the portability of it. That Sega collection is so worth your money. There are certain
it's only
games
like $80, right?
Oh no, it's like a $40 title.
Oh, is
it's
it?
Like a budget title, yeah.
Oh wow, because I was looking at it, it was like $80.
No, I
that
think
that was a while ago.
Yeah, I think I paid like $40 for it. There are certain action titles where there's a little bit of a very very minute lag in your button input.
Yeah.
But I could see how it'd be frustrating in some of the later levels. But for games like this, anything that's like a slower moving RPG tactical game, like Phantasy Star 4 is on there. This is on there with Shining Force 2.
I did want to say, I especially love the graphics of the fighting.
Like, I do too. Like, so like every time, so you're on this like basic, it looks like, you know, honestly, like the overworld looks like Dragon Warrior HD.
Yeah.
It's fucking top down. just a little bit fancier looking dragon.
But when
warrior.
You do the attacks and
but
stuff,
every time you attack or they attack, it goes into this awesome like giant bad guy in the background.
It's almost 3D-esque.
Yeah, back of your character in the foreground, and it looks fucking dope. And like, and they always do something, and their weapons change based on the weapon they're holding and stuff. And yeah, it looks looks surprisingly good for a game as old as it is. For everything bad about it, there's a lot good, man. If you like tactical RPGs, I strongly recommend play. Don't buy the Sega collection just to play this. But like, if you buy it,
but
play
also
this.
Buy the Sega collection.
But buy it and play this. Like it was, I enjoyed it. Like I said, even if I never play through it again, I was like, dude, that was it. It'd be like playing through the first Final Fantasy. I think anyone that plays through it would be like, I played through the first one, and I never need to do that again. But I did it, and that's how I felt about this. I had a good time. It was slow. The fucking menu navigation was frustrating. I thought there was too many characters and stuff like that. But I had a really good time. Like, I did not regret playing it at all.
If you do want to do a Final Fantasy original, I'll be in for that
too. I have to play it. I have it on my phone. I've probably gotten 6 or 7 hours into it. That's it. Mick, on a scale of 1 to 10, what would you give the original Shining Force?
Now I would probably give it a 7.3.
7.3.
Yeah.
That's, you know what? Yeah. I was thinking around a 7 myself. So I'll go 7. It was fun. Every single thing it does has been done better.
Yeah.
Since. But if you like a little bit of gaming history and you're looking for, it's pretty easy to play while you're doing something else. As long as you're on a, I think it's on phones.
You can get it on the phone.
It's on phones, on the Switch. Like, I wouldn't recommend it like to play on a TV at this point. You know what I mean? Like, play it on something where you can have like a second screen so you can do something else at the same time. Cause there's a lot of points where it's fucking slow.
Yeah. It's just
when you're
grinding.
Waiting on a dozen bad guys to just move across a map and stuff like that.
Unless maybe if you're doing like a Twitch of it.
Yeah. Yeah. But, fucking good game, man. So 7.3. Good recommendation. Thanks for coming over, buddy. That turned into a 40-minute podcast about some fucking slow-ass RPG.
Most of us shitting on it.
Yeah.
This part sucked, but also...
But also it gets a 7. good stuff. Thanks for doing this, buddy.
No problem, man.
That's going to do it for this week's episode. Everybody, thank you so, so, so much for listening. Miklos, my friend, thank you for coming over and talking video games with me. And thank you for the recommendation on playing this game because it was fucking awesome. I'm starting to hate the Sega Genesis less and less as this podcast goes on because I'm playing more and more of their games and realizing they weren't nearly as bad as I thought they were. You guys, if you enjoyed the show, please leave us a good review on social media or iTunes or whatever one of those things. That would be just absolutely incredible. I don't know what they accomplish, but I know that all the good podcast hosts ask for them. Just like Guiji. Oh, Guiji. Oh, I just got that. Some dude left me a review that literally is 5 stars and it just says 11 out of 10. And his name is him or she. I don't know. I don't know if it's a he or she. It's Guiji, who I just realized was Luigi from Luigi's Mansion. That's fucking cool. So thank you guys very much. Leave us a good review. Follow us on social media. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at MemberTheGame, which is also where you can submit questions for our Patreon secret episodes that'll start launching next month. Patreon.com/RememberTheGame. $2 a month gets you extra episodes and an entry into draws for prizes. That's enough. I got my last plug in. I feel greasy. I'm going to go have a shower and play some more old video games because that's my life now. Thanks for listening, guys. I will be back in 7 days with another episode of Remember the Game. Take it easy. Thanks a lot. Bye.